Lamont Jones is shattered when his cousin dies just weeks after entering prison. The official report says natural causes, but bruises and missing teeth tell a different story. Wondery presents Death County, PA, a chilling true story of corruption and cover-ups. Follow Death County, PA on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Mr. Ballin, the host of Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. And each week on my podcast, you can expect to hear stories about bizarre illnesses no one can explain, miraculous recoveries that shouldn't have happened, and cases so baffling they stumped even the best doctors. Listen to Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following podcast is not real, but it is really sponsored by Emporium Arcade Bar. Emporium hosts awesome game, beer, food, and live music events daily in Wicker Park and Logan Square. Visit EmporiumChicago.com for info.
Hello from the Magic Tavern. Or rather, should I say, hello from Choo Choo's Chow, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is what's going on. Many, many months ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King into the fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a slight Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King, and I use that to upload a podcast. I record usually every week in the Vermilion Minotaur, which is a tavern in the town of Hog's Face in the land of Foon. But this week, to celebrate my buddy Choo Choo's and UC's restaurant, Choo Choo's Chow, I am recording from Choo Choo's Chow.
Yeah, baby.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, it did. As much as you can make sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, Chunt, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I am Chunt.
Good
bing
work.
Bong, bing bong, bing bong.
Fantastic. And, of course,
where are Table 4's apps? Where are Table 4's apps? I need apps. What's going on here?
Usador, I understand that you are running Choo Choo's Chow right now, but we are doing the podcast.
Oh, so. I am Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiang Yalak. The dwarves know me as Table 6 needs a fresh... the dwarves know me as Zoranhuk Stangis.
Can we get them some menus?
Yes, I'm so sorry about that. I'll be right back.
Just need some menus over there.
There you go. Please enjoy your stay here, Choo Choo's Chow. Yes, it's wonderful to have you.
Our special today is deep-fried fox
face. And I am known in the Northeast as Gasmoenius Maystar, and there may be other secret names you do not know yet.
Are you done?
Yeah, I gotta go.
All right, fantastic. So I'm so excited. This is my first time checking out Choo Choo's Chow, Chunt, the restaurant you guys open.
Yeah, thank you for coming. I mean, I have to say, it really means the world to me that you're here.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, I didn't know if you ever come, so I think I just want you to have the best time. So we'll sit here at the chef's table, and anything you want, it's on me.
Wow, what's the first thing? Is there like an appetizer I should have? Should we like work our way through the meal during the podcast?
There is a prefix menu.
Okay,
as I mentioned,
that
just means it's set.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a set menu.
Okay.
It must be a Foon thing.
There must be a Foon thing.
If you don't know a prefix, it must be a Foon thing. So it starts with, like I said, our specialty is deep fried fox face.
Huh.
So that's what you're making a face.
I like the first two words.
Okay.
Oh, it's delicious, Arnold.
Oh.
You skin the face of a fox and you slowly lower the face meat into a boiling hot pool of oil until it just is crispy and delicious.
I love that Chef Caden.
So wonderful. Sumptuous.
I'm going to warn listeners, I'm just guessing this episode is going to be Usador chef voice heavy. So if you're not a fan, you probably can just turn it off right now.
So we have that, and then we also have horsetail fritters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the rest is kind of up to the chef.
Yeah.
We have a new chef. We have a set chef. So he kind of dictates what day-to-day the best ingredients are and what we can get from the, you know, market.
It sounds like adventurous fare. Mm-hmm. I am here to support you guys. I'm excited to eat all that stuff.
Oh, great. Pardon me for a moment.
Hello, welcome to Choo Choo's Chow. Yes, come right this way.
To start, do you want a glass of, we have sparkling owl tears?
Sparkling owl tears? Mm-hmm. Sure. It sounds odd, but,
it's just kind of like a palate cleanser. It's just like an aperitif.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I start you with some appetizers? And you'd like to join my quest to defeat the Dark Lord of Gloom? Yes, for he is evil and everywhere. Even in this haunted bog, he doth plague us all. But enjoy your meal.
We lose a lot of customers.
Look, I know that I've been accused of not being as supportive of you guys as I could be in the past, and that's why I'm here to eat some deep-fried fox face.
Best friends.
Yay, best friends. Hey, you know what? I'm really interested in meeting your chef.
Oh, well, here he comes. He's thank you so much, Leonard, for the deep-fried fox face. This is Leonard Cronkite. He's our head chef.
Oh.
Leonard Cronkite.
Good morrow. Arby, is it?
It's Arnie.
Oh, if he wants to call you Arby, just let him.
Arby?
Yeah.
Yes, in Foon, it is an old honor to be given a special name by a chef.
Oh, so, really?
Yes, so Arby shall be the name.
Yeah, Arby sounds fitting.
I can already hear the emails coming in, people calling me Arby.
Emails.
We don't need to talk about Earth stuff.
Leonard, it's a magical form of mail, much as a bird would carry a message to you. Through these wires and magical energies, messages are transported on Arnold's magical world.
Great Scott!
We have been playing a game set in this world, and it is quite fantastical. Officers and bosses.
Oh, officers and bosses, eh?
But you know what, guys? This is the Choo Choo's Chow episode. I'm really excited to learn more about this restaurant you guys are opening. And Leonard, I've heard that you're a half giant?
Yes. The way it works is the lower half of my body is a giant.
As you can see.
Wow.
My legs are quite large. Mm-hmm. And the upper half is, I'll just say it is a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what we call in Foon pear-shaped.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that is right, pear-shaped. Uh-huh. Yes. And, you know, it offered me quite some goodness as a chef. You know, there are long hours. And,
sure.
You know, with my giant legs that are also immortal as a giant.
Oh, immortal? Yeah. Wow.
Well, yes.
Long after her top half is dead, those legs will be running.
Oh,
no.
They'll be cavorting about and looking for a restaurant in which to cook. So.
Sure.
Yes.
Do you cook much with your legs?
I try to keep them planted firmly on the ground.
Sure.
As to give my upper parts more dexterity. But,
sure,
you know, I have been known to take a little more glob here and there.
Oh, yeah,
and,
now we're talking.
Get a little crazy.
Yeah, baby.
Holy cow.
Yes.
Pardon me for a
moment. Oh, boy.
It also helps to have a half giant in the kitchen just so there's not going to be any unruly customers, you know? If people don't like what they're eating, and they're like, I need to see the chef. Once a half giant comes out, they're not going to complain. You know?
Yeah, they're like half terrified.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
They're like,
if I were a half giant, if my legs were giant and the top of me wasn't, I would always pull the maneuver of always be sitting down when someone threatens me, and then stand up.
My God. Do you know, I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. That's a wonderful idea.
So go dig in.
Okay.
Why don't you eat the deep-fried fox face so Leonard can see your face while you enjoy it.
Yeah.
This is my favorite part.
Everyone is staring at my face very intently.
Yes.
Let's just keep the conversation. I mean, I'll pick at it.
And no one's going to say a word until we really want you to.
There you go. Yep. Yep, you're going to have to chew for a good 15 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
It's a little, What do you think?
It's, oh boy, yeah. I'm surprised that there's like under the deep frying, there's fur there still.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why, it's a fox haze. Did you not understand that part?
Yeah, no, I guess I should have not made the mistake of thinking it wasn't literal, but it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's real good. Wear those. I could really use those owl tears to wash it down.
Oh, here you go. Let me just pour you a flute of that.
Okay.
And Leonard, what else? So we have the horsetail fritters, the fox face. Was there anything else from the market that's going to go on the prefix menu too?
Yes, well, I specialize in the face, really, of anything. Mm-hmm. So uh-huh. any type of face.
It's a face-heavy menu, is
yes,
what you're
definitely face-heavy. So we definitely have the fox face, and then we also have the sheep's face.
Okay.
And, of course, the pig's face, which is, a delicacy.
Yeah.
So.
And you really should watch when Leonard's in the kitchen and he's taking the face off, like... Mm-hmm. That whole face-off procedure is just...
I'm a big fan of face-off.
Like, it holds up.
The procedure it really does.
Holds
it's
up.
It's sort of... I'm guessing the procedure is stupid, but also, like, in a great way. Like,
yeah, because at first you're like, that's... Come on. And then you're like, no, it's working. Like, it kind of works.
Yeah. So, Leonard, what made you decide to become a chef?
Well, it's interesting. It's actually a legacy.
Legacy?
Yes, in the human part of my family. And, it was my duty to carry it on, even when we escaped the dreaded Earth Place for Foon.
What?
Yes, my family and I, fled.
Uh-huh.
Fled. We came to Foon.
Yeah.
We fell behind some sort of sandwich shop.
Uh-huh.
And we came here, and my mother, who was the human, she said, Leonard, this is your destiny. You must carry it on. And I did.
So your human ancestors come from Earth and not from Foon?
It is true, yes. They are also from Earth, but it was a long time
ago. Holy crap. Well, maybe you can answer... What's a Houdini?
Oh.
Do you know? Because Arnie didn't seem to know.
It's just not as interesting as you think it's going to be.
Is it some kind of dish?
No, I don't know.
We think it's a person named Peter Houdini.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Do you remember anything about your life as a human on Earth?
Unfortunately, I don't. We left when I was just a few months old in human time. And so I don't remember. I remember a lot of bright lights, and that's about it.
Hmm.
So let me understand this. You were born upon Earth, correct?
Yes.
Yet you are half giant.
Right.
So the giants also at some point were on Earth.
Well, I mean, there was a giant, a famous giant on Earth named Andre.
Oh.
Yes.
And he was a fighter.
Yes.
And sadly, not immortal.
Oh.
Not a very good story.
Yeah, but is there any chance, is your father Andre the giant?
Well, I really can't believe you're bringing this up, but it is time that I come to terms with it. Yes. Yes, that was my father, and he is now living in Foon, and he is mortal now that he is back in his original place.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yes.
Andre the Giant lives in Foon now.
Yes. Oh, boy, Daddy's going to give me a whipping for this one.
Is he that big cloaked guy that just yells obey at everyone?
Perhaps.
Yes, I believe that's him.
Perhaps.
I believe you're right. That is
that
him.
That guy is weird as hell.
That guy, that's Leonard's father.
Yeah. I'll be like walking at night and he'll be like, obey. And I'm like, get the fuck off my case, man.
Yeah. Does he ever come up to you and say, anybody want a peanut?
No.
No?
No? All right. Fair enough.
Should he?
Now, Leonard, I'm very curious. What is it exactly, then, that makes you believe your bottom half is immortal?
Well, I just kind of deduced because the bottom half of me is so large that I say, well, that half must be the giant part.
Yes.
Sure.
And my legs look... beautiful and sinewy. And
Hand me that knife.
Here's a knife.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
All right.
I'm so sorry. I thought you wouldn't feel it.
She didn't say indestructible. She said immortal.
What's the difference?
I can still feel pain.
I am so sorry.
Sake.
I thought you would. I was like, let's test him.
We're very sorry.
I am
about that.
So sorry.
I thought he just wanted to cut up his fox face.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't need a knife. It should be so tender that
it just falls apart. I'm so sorry.
But he's got very small hands and mouth, though, so, you know, sometimes it's hard to...
Yeah, it takes me 15 or 30 minutes to chew it.
Exactly.
Right.
I think your logic is... What was that?
I was just making fun of you.
The hell? How dare you? How
I don't
dare
know.
You?
I don't know. These owl tears are going to my head.
Leonard, I think you were logic.
He's having a stroke. He's having a stroke. Lay him down.
Right.
Lay him down. He's overworked for sure.
Yeah.
He's been working 3 days straight. He hasn't slept.
Uh-huh.
And I think he just had a stroke. His face just went slack. So let's give him a moment to cool down. Could you just put that rag under the water?
And we're back.
Yeah. Oh. What? Oh, hey, wow. What? You just snapped back up.
I am a wizard.
Right.
Need I say more?
You know what? Maybe we should take a quick break and make sure that Isidore is doing all right.
All right, I'll lay down.
All right. We'll be right back.
Good folks of Hog's Face, some of you may know me. My name is Bungary Chubbins of Chubbins Chamber Pots and so forth. Lately, all I hear is a bunch of yammering about this upstart Penhaligon's pretty potties. I don't understand it. Does anyone really need a heart-shaped, diamond-encrusted turd box? I'm asking, when did this come into fashion? Please, good people, be sensible and come to my shop, Chubbins Chamber Pots and so forth. My turd boxes are in the shape of boxes.
Last year, Law and Crime brought you the trial that captivated the nation.
She's accused of hitting her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe, with her car.
Karen Reed is arrested and charged with second-degree murder.
The 6-week trial resulted in anything but resolution.
We continue to find ourselves at an impasse. I'm declaring a mistrial in this case.
But now the case is back in the spotlight, and one question still lingers. Did Karen Reed kill John O'Keefe?
The evidence is overwhelming that Karen Reed is innocent.
How does it feel to be a cop killer, Karen?
I'm Kristen Thorne, investigative reporter with Law and Crime and host of the podcast, Karen, The Retrial. This isn't just a retrial. It's a second chance at the truth.
I have nothing to hide. My life is in the balance, and it shouldn't be.
I just want people to go back to who the victim is in this. It's not her.
Listen to episodes of Karen, The Retrial, exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
In the early hours of December 4th, 2024, CEO Brian Thompson stepped out onto the streets of Midtown Manhattan.
This assailant pulls out a weapon and starts firing at him.
We're talking about the CEO of the biggest private health insurance corporation in the world.
And the suspect,
he has been identified as Luigi Nicholas Mangione,
became one of the most divisive figures in modern criminal history.
I was targeted, premeditated, and meant to sow terror.
I'm Jesse Weber, host of Luigi, produced by Law and Crime and Twist. This is more than a true crime investigation. We explore a uniquely American moment that could change the country forever.
He's awoken the people to a true issue.
Finally, maybe this would lead rich and powerful people to acknowledge the barbaric nature of our healthcare system.
Listen to Law and Crime's Luigi exclusively on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
And we're back.
I just want to apologize again for your leg.
That's all right. Yeah. The wound has healed, so.
Know that it will be, my assumptions will be reflected in your next paycheck, so.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
I'll have Nimbly poop a little extra.
Oh, very nice.
I also wanted to point out, before I was so rudely interrupted by Arnold and a stroke, that your logic is impeccable.
Thank you.
Think of the great unmoving mountains of Trailfield. They live forever.
The unmoving mountains?
Yes.
Are there moving mountains?
No.
That's just, okay.
Just reiterating.
Sure.
I'm making a point that they're large and they're forever, just as your legs are. So
yes.
I understand perfectly how you've come to your decision.
Thank you, Lucy. I appreciate that.
Thank you for being such a wonderful chef.
Oh,
I'm glad that you sort of brought that up. Leonard, I hesitate to broach this subject, but this is this podcast, so I'm going to have to ask. So your leg, you've got giant legs.
Yes.
I assume you've also got a giant's butt.
Oh, well, thank you very much, but I guess one could say it is sizable.
Sure.
And like, come on, don't.
What, Jen, you're telling me to not ask this question?
Come on, you know the answer.
I don't.
I mean,
Arby.
Yeah, come on, Arby.
Look, we're all guys here. Like,
you know what? If you do this, if you ask this question from now on, anytime anybody in Foon thinks of Arby, they're gonna think gross. They're gonna think fucking gross.
Really?
Yes.
That's how it is on Earth as well. What? Unless they're a sponsor.
Ugh. He wants to know. Come on.
What are you packing?
Yeah.
Packing.
Yes. In terms of genitalia.
Oh, in my trousers.
Exactly.
Yes, what am I packing in my trouser bag?
When you get up in the morning and you pack your trouser bag for the day,
yes.
How big of a suitcase do you need?
May I interject for a moment before he answers? I hate that part of getting ready in the morning.
Yes. Packing your trousers.
Packing my trouser bag every morning. Yes. It seems like such a hassle.
Yeah.
It seems like, why don't we just have one piece of garment that it does not require you to so specifically put your balls into one thing, your shaft into another, zip the whole thing up. It's just, I don't understand it, frankly.
I always have trouble folding my penis when I pack.
What?
It's the worst.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Do you not pack your penis?
Sure I do. I pack my penis one leg at a time.
Do you,
just like everybody else?
Right.
We'll get you a trouser bag.
All right, fair. Okay. Yes. Maybe that's enough dick and balls talk.
Arby must have an authentic Foon trouser bag.
Mm-hmm. Yes, oh, of course he that'll must.
Be, yes.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
We'll have someone make one for you.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
Sure.
But well, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to tell us about the size of your penis.
Oh, right. Well,
well, we also don't. We don't have to talk about we don't have to.
You're the one that brought it up.
Here comes the third course. Here you go. So this is. This is goats, because we have a lot of... Usidore sacrifices a lot of goats.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he also... This has been marinating for 3 days.
Yeah.
In your own blood.
In my blood?
Yeah. Yes. A while ago, Usidore took a vial of your blood, and he's been using that to marinate the goat. This is a special dish we made today just for you, so you're the only one who's going to eat that.
It doesn't look like it's been... cooked in any way.
No, just marinated.
Yeah.
So we're all going to wash your face and just go ahead and take a bite.
Yes, please take a bite.
We just want to make sure
everyone
that
is looking at me very, very intensely.
Yum.
Okay, all right.
Yum. There you go. Oh, yeah.
I really hope he likes it. If he doesn't,
and could you?
Who knows what I might
like
do?
It. It's good. It's really good. Mm. Oh, but it's filling. It's even just that little.
Oh, really? You can't eat the rest?
No. Why? This is a. Fucking full goat. I'm gonna eat the whole thing.
No, Arby, it is customary to eat the entire plate when it comes to you, or else.
You're being rude.
I didn't want to say it.
And Usidore slaved over that
goat. Okay, I'm gonna need a little bit of time. Alright, but I'm gonna work my way through.
Thank you.
Why don't you. Guys, tell me where some more of the dishes that, what's some exciting, Leonard, what are you most excited about cooking here?
Oh, well, I've had some wonderful ideas, and of course, you see, and I will pass the ideas back and forth.
Yes, we do.
Yes, one that I am particularly looking forward to is the cram and scrap, which is a new dish that I am creating.
You're going to love it, Harvey.
Yes. Well, the way it works is you take any animal, whatever animal you happen to find under the light of a full moon.
Okay.
And you find that animal.
A gopher, a bear, a pig. It does not matter.
It does not matter. Really, we do anything. And so you take that animal.
So it could only be a gopher, a bear, or a pig.
No, I was just saying those as three examples. Yes. It could be anything.
Okay. Right. He's explaining. So you take the animal under the light of the full moon, and you take a sacred dagger that was passed down from Andre, my father, and you slit the belly of the animal open and proceed to clean out the entrails, and then you just cram the cavity with as much raw meat of another animal that you can, and you sew it up in the belly, now keep in mind, this is all done in the light of the full moon, so you have to do this before the sun rises, and you...
Because if the sun rises and you're still working, the animal reanimates?
Yes,
And then you have to fight it.
Full of raw meat.
Horrifying. Yes, it really is, and... So we sew it up and then we soak the animal in its own urine.
Oh.
For 24 Foon hours.
24 hours, just so it really soaks up all that urine.
Yes.
Ooh, I can tell your mouth is watering.
fearsome, and then we cook it rotisserie style.
But another thing that we've been kicking around, we haven't quite figured this one out yet.
Yes.
But there are so many leftover chicken parts.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
There are so many leftover chicken parts because you cook the feet, obviously.
Yes.
For the rooster feet, and you have chicken breasts and chicken thighs, but then there are all these bones and heads and beaks. And we're thinking about putting all that stuff into a pastry.
Yes.
And we actually wanted to spitball a name for that. So chicken parts in a pastry. Do you gentlemen have any wonderful ideas?
Oh, can you just call it?
I was going to call it beak bread, but that just
doesn't
ring.
Like beak bread, it's got
like
alliteration.
Yeah, it's got alliteration.
It's rather
not
good.
Not bad.
Oh. I was just thinking vomit inducer.
Why would you
induce
it?
No, it doesn't really have a ring to it.
Oh, actually, we tried it, and that's exactly what it does. So that's a very good. I mean, why lie about it?
You know, I actually have to ask a question about Choo Choo's Chow. Like, it seems like there are a lot of people here, but it also seems like the preparation is very time consuming. How are you guys
very
doing? Like,
time consuming.
How is? I know starting a new business, new restaurant is very difficult. Mm-hmm. Are you guys?
Oh, we're in severe debt. Yeah, crippling.
Oh no.
Yeah,
we're not in it for the money, though. We're in it for the love of the game.
Yeah, but no debt collector's going to come after a wizard. Come on.
You know, after a wizard who has a business in a haunted purple bog? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, best of luck trying to track us down.
Fat chance of a dime out of me.
If you, instead of chickens, use crows, you could call it a croissant.
Ooh.
Is that clever? Is that?
I love that. Yeah. And then we could start getting crows and serving the meats instead of chicken breasts. That's lovely.
That would be cheaper as well.
Yes.
Cheaper.
You haven't asked me.
Boo!
Ghost? Is there a ghost? Is my dad here?
Thank you so much, Leonard. And I'm really enjoying this goat.
Thank you, Arby. It was my pleasure.
What's in your napkin?
Nothing.
When you put your napkin up to your face, it looks like your napkin got bigger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's just a magical napkin I have.
Oh.
You have a magical napkin.
I have a magical napkin. I'll explain it to you later, Eustace.
Oh, I'm so excited to learn of this new magical trick.
As am I.
Oh, now, Arnold, speaking of magic, you haven't mentioned it at all. That we're in a haunted bog.
I know, it's true. It was a little scary getting here, which might I feel like might hurt your business a little bit. Like trudging through a haunted bog to get some food, it's creepy.
It's part of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. People want aesthetic, you know, they want like a certain fun aesthetic.
Sure. And it's fun because we can serve regular humans, we can serve hunger ghosts because they feel right at home.
Yeah, my daddy comes here all the time.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen your dad in a while.
This is your first time here.
That's true.
So let's calm down.
Chen, have you gotten any emails?
You bet your ass I have. This is an email from Caitlin. Caitlin says, my fiance introduced me to the podcast you frequently guest co-host. It seems to me that you may be a real Don Juan. Don Juan?
Oh, Don Juan.
Oh, a real Don Juan of Foon. It may upset my soon-to-be husband, but I'm completely enamored with you. Almost as enamored as I am with statistics. Statistically speaking, how often do women or men leave their partners for a night with you? I have no intentions of acting on these impulses, as I am 100% committed to my fiancé, James, and I know what I feel for you is just a fleeting crush.
That is quite a compliment.
Good luck, James.
No one's ever told me that they like me almost as much as they like statistics.
Yeah, that's a weird... I wish you all the best, and James and I shall toast to your health at our wedding. Huh.
Wow.
That's pretty nice. I don't know if I am a Don Juan. Statistically speaking, I guess, I don't know, I've been a badger for a while, so it's not like I'm hitting, you know.
Yeah. You're a pretty steady guy,
yeah.
As long as I've known you.
I'm all about the romance, baby, for the most part.
I got an email here from William Kenkel, a postdoctoral researcher at the Kinsey Institute. Hi, Arnie. I'm a biologist here on Earth, and I'm very curious about Chunt's mating habits. At least for Earth mammals, about 3-5% of species are monogamous. And then there's actually a notation here. D.J. Kleinman's Monogamy in Animals, Quarterly Review of Biology, 1977. I worry that if Chunt ever slept with one of these creatures, he would pair bond and get stuck as that species. Is that something you ever worry about?
No.
No.
Why is everyone seems real invested in my sex life?
It's true.
Mind your beers.
Well, anyway, he says, in Chunt's best interest, he should try and stay away from these animals because would pair bond and be stuck as that animal forever.
Oh, good.
That's elephant nice. Shrews, old world beavers, prairie voles, common marmosets. But it doesn't say anything about uncommon marmosets.
Do you know how rude that is to call a marmoset common?
That's true. You're just a common marmoset.
Yeah.
Gray wolves and night monkeys.
Ooh.
What about all the other colors of wolves?
I guess they're fine.
All right, so you can have sex with blue wolves, green wolves, red wolves, yellow wolves, and all of the other colors that aren't gray.
What's the sexiest color of wolf?
To me, there's something about a red wolf that red really sets the blood a-boiling.
Sure. I don't know. I'm curious. I feel like you would like old world beavers.
Why would I like that?
I don't know. I got another email here.
I had other emails.
Oh, okay. Let's hear some more of yours.
Yuck. This is from Christopher Fankaham. Christopher simply writes, Netflix and chill? Question mark. I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about this stuff.
Netflix and chill.
That's the entirety of the message?
Yeah. Netflix and chill.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Arnie, any help?
Nope.
Great.
I got an email from CJ Lewis who says, just so you know, I love all the Earth references. Keep doing them. Don't let Chunt be so mean to you, by the way. Be nice, Chunt.
Aww.
Thank you, CJ.
Be nice, Choo-choo.
And although you've been a wonderful host, actually, I feel we've been getting along a lot better recently.
Yeah, we even talked about getting tattoos.
Yeah, I don't know what they would say.
Mm. You get my name, and I'll get my name.
I think that's a lose for both of us. I have another email here. It says, "Hey Arnold, it's Arnie. Thank you. The show is great. Does Usador have a trolling motor for sale?"
Netflix and chill?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess
I don't because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it also says, are you coming to Findlay for Thanksgiving? Matt Cordagna. Hey, this is my sister's husband. Sent us an email.
Oh, and Foon, we call that a brother-in-law.
What did I call him?
Sister's
Your
husband?
Sister's husband.
Oh, well, sure, yeah.
Seems like a long walk for when there's a short bridge.
Is there any way he would be able to contact Sarah?
Well, that's the thing. So, Matt, if you're out there, please contact my wife and let her know that I'm trapped in an alternate reality and I did not run away and I'm really having difficulty getting in touch with her.
Now, Sarah must not have contacted any of your family to let them know that she hasn't seen you in 8 months.
Yeah. That does not seem very
promising.
Also,
what is Thanksgiving?
Oh, boy. Thanksgiving is a holiday on my part of Earth where they, where you eat with your family. It's really nice. It's sort
of
like
this. It's only celebrated on your part of Earth?
Well, it's not celebrated in every province, every country in my world. But
so the other countries don't want to give thanks?
I'm sure they have Thanksgiving type traditions where they gather together and they give thanks or they try to be thankful for things. So, and this email is actually making me realize this was sent a little while ago that I actually missed Thanksgiving. So I did not get to see my family or give thanks on Thanksgiving.
You haven't eaten all your goat.
Yeah, it's give thanks for the wonderful meal that Leonard prepared for you today.
Yeah.
I'll come back to check up on you and see how you're doing. By the way, I have a gigantic penis. Okay.
Oh.
Yes, just wanted to...
I think we all assumed, but thank you for clarifying.
Well, you're welcome. I don't want to leave it hanging out there.
So to speak.
Boom, baby.
Boys' night.
Boys' dinner.
Yes.
Hey again, everything you heard just then was not real. I've been told to emphasize that. I do want to say again that my own predicament being trapped on this space station taking care of this creature thing that appears to be human, but on second look... Anyway, that is real. It's a real situation, and any help you guys could possibly offer to anyone listening would be great. I actually did get one email here from Evan Price, who says, so Craig, from what I can guess about the spaceship that you're in, it's powered by one or more higher dimensional objects. And he goes on about a lot that I couldn't really understand. But therefore, in order to send a reverse projection and cast your conscious shadow back into your world, you will require the use of some sort of higher dimensional objects, fourth dimensional objects. And then he talks about a Klein bottle and a 4D hypercubit of Möbius strip. Evan, I've looked all around the ship, and I did find one room full of things with a lot of non-Euclidean angles that I stared at for a long time until I passed out. And I woke up in the Topaz room, which is... not a place I want to go again. So I don't think that's going to be the solution. But if anybody has anything else I can try, really would appreciate it. Until then, as I said, the whole podcast thing is not real. Anyway, Usador was played by Matt Young. Chunt was played by Adil Rafai. Leonard Cronkite was played by special guest Lauren Lopez. Lauren's a member of Starkid, and if you're in L.A. in March or April, you can hear her live in the new musical Spies Are Forever. Bungaree Chubbins was played by Tom Gottlieb. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Evan Jacover, and Ryan DiGiorgi, edited by Chris Rafjan. Oh, hey, want to listen to another podcast from the Chicago Podcast Co-op? Check out Team GFB Radio. Dave Lang and Daryl Wisner share tales from the front lines of game development and talk current events in the games industry. Team GFB Radio, another part of the Chicago Podcast Co-op. Find out more about the co-op at chicagopodcastcoop.com. And thanks again to our sponsor, Emporium Arcade Bar. Go learn more about their live events at emporiumchicago.com. I guess that's it for now.
In 1976, a Georgia native, Navy veteran, and peanut farmer named Jimmy Carter won his bid for the presidency. What Carter didn't know then was that the next 4 years would be the most difficult he could ever imagine. Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, the host of Wondery's podcast, American History Tellers. We take you to the events, times, and people that shaped America and Americans, our values, our struggles, and our dreams. In our latest series, we explore Jimmy Carter's time in the White House, from his unexpected presidential victory as an outsider vowing to clean up Washington, to his remarkable diplomatic breakthroughs and legislative accomplishments on energy, education, and the environment. But Carter also faced crushing challenges as he worked to lead the country through energy shortages, sky-high inflation, and the Iran hostage crisis. Follow American History Tellers on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest season only on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.